National Board Meeting here in Houston. I'd like to thank all the folks at KPFT, Dwayne Bradley. Hosting us here in Houston, and thanks for the wonderful party you threw for us last night in the backyard. Also, I'd like to thank Leilani Duarte, who put together our board packets, and I know it wasn't easy, and also our secretary, Roger Manning, who helped with that and got all our minutes together, another difficult task. And I'd like to welcome the Pacific Coast community far and wide to this meeting. I'd also like to suggest some rules here tonight, that we limit our comments to 2 minutes per person, that no one speak twice until all have had the opportunity to speak once, and that when appropriate we'll alternate pro and con. And without any objections, can we adopt those rules? Objection? So the rules are adopted. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is to approve the agenda.
May I make a movement? I move we approve the agenda. It's Alice Shield.
Second, I'm Bruce Lane.
It's moved and seconded that we approve the agenda. All in favor, signify by raising your hand.
I have a question before I vote. Because we have specific hours before the agenda items, are we adopting orders of the day, which means that when the time arrives, we have to move? Or are these times for suggestion only?
I'd like to see them the orders of the day.
All right. So we're voting to adopt these as orders of the day. Okay. Thank you.
All right, so let's vote again. All those in favor of adopting this agenda, please raise your hand. All right, motion carries. The agenda is adopted.
No. Well, there were no nays.
Now we move on to approving the minutes of our last meeting.
I'll move to approve the minutes, the first one on this stack, of the special meeting April 28th, 2004. That was the telephone conference.
I'll second that. Let's freak out. Okay. Chairman, I have a correction to those minutes.
Yes.
My name is not Shadows Direct and I'm present, which is the right.
Into the mic.
My name is not shown under directors not present. It's not on either list. It should be under not present.
All right. Any other corrections to this particular set of minutes? The special meeting of April 28th?
Point of order, I believe, doesn't that have to be considered as a motion?
No, not if there's no objection.
I
would also like to propose this, to correct it. The main motion that we voted on was it's corrected already. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, no, it isn't corrected. I apologize. Where it says the Spooner motion passes, that is very confusing because there was a Spooner proposal and then a Spooner motion. The Spooner motion was to adopt the Adelson proposal. So I would like to amend the minutes to say Adelson motion to adopt Adelson proposal passes.
What page?
Page 6. The motion to adopt the Adelson proposal passes. That tells us what we did.
Okay.
document.
All right. Are there any other corrections to these minutes? All right. Seeing none, without objection, can we pass these, approve these minutes?
As corrected.
As corrected. All right. These minutes are approved. Now, somebody help me. Should we approve each set of minutes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The next set is... minutes of the
March 14th
executive session confidential minutes.
I can't hear.
I move to approve the confidential minutes of the March 12th executive session on March 14th.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of the confidential meeting on March 14th. Are there any objections? All right, seeing no objections, those minutes are approved. Let's move on to the next set of minutes. It should be the rest of the meeting in Berkeley. Are there any corrections to those minutes? The regular Berkeley meeting.
Mm-hmm. I want to make a comment about there are still some typos in what you see in the packet, which are in the minutes, but they've been corrected. There's still some typos in the version of this version of the minutes of the regular meeting, Berkeley meeting, in the packet, but they've since been corrected, but not they weren't corrected in time to be printed for the packet. So the only changes that have been made are spelling errors.
Spelling errors only?
Yeah.
All right, is there a motion to approve these minutes?
I move to approve these minutes with the understanding that spelling out errors have been corrected in the and will be part of the minutes we are approving.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of the regular meeting of the Pacifica Foundation, March 12th and 14th in Berkeley. And seeing no objections, we'll approve those minutes. Great. Moving right along. The next item on our agenda is to deal with a Scrivener's error in the bylaws.
Roger, are you making a motion?
The motion is written out in your board packet. I suppose, read the motion.
Could you tell us where on the board packet?
Yes, it's in Chapter 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Move approval.
Okay.
Second.
Chapter 1?
Page?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even find it. Table of contents, agenda, and proposed motions. Of course, and the only one that was in there is mine, actually. So it's moved and seconded.
Is there any objection?
I haven't read it yet. Could I have a moment of
here we go. I should probably read it. The motion by, be it resolved that in order to correct the Scrivener's error in the Pacifica bylaws in Article 8, other committees of the Board of Directors, comma, Section 5, meetings and actions of committees as reported by Pacifica Legal Counsel, the following. Meetings and actions of committees shall be governed by and held and taken in accordance with the provisions of Article 7 shall be changed to meetings and actions of committees shall be governed by and held and taken in accordance with the provisions of Article 6. In other words, instead of saying Article 7 in this part of the bylaws, it should say Article 6. The lawyer pointed this out to us, and so we should change it from Article 7 to Article 6.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Are people clear on what this is? Okay. Is there any objection to resolving the Scrivener's error here and passing this resolution? Okay, seeing none, then it is corrected. So now we come to the public participation part of our meeting this evening, and I'm sorry that folks in the audience don't have an agenda. We'll try to get some to you tomorrow for the rest of the meeting, but this evening we have none. And I'd like to ask that people from Houston speak first. Let's let the people from Houston speak, and then we've got plenty of time. So, all right, Ted Weisgall. 2 minutes each, please. And Patty and Deb are both keeping time. Patty's right here. So, Ted, are you in the room? No, he isn't. Well, okay. All right, how about Melinda?
Okay.
Are you here?
Melinda? I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
But he got a little bit back, yeah.
I can't read your last name. Sorry, Melinda.
Okay.
Melinda, I don't know.
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
I must admit, I'm really glad to see you guys here. I've made some new friends, and I'm really, really excited to see this. I just want to add one comment. I am the chairman of the elections here in Houston, and there's one concern I had, and I just wanted to present this because I know you're going to be voting on a slate of an agenda that I took part in the formation of. And that's the idea of the write-in vote. I'm very concerned about the possibility. I look at it this way. They're given 2 months in which to prepare a campaign. And I would like very much to have as level a playing field. So that is a very big concern of mine. Okay. Can you hear me better? Okay, I apologize. Like I said, this was something that was a great concern to me, was the idea of someone having a write-in campaign. I think that we're more than willing to be as accommodating as possible so that we can get as diverse a group of individuals running, and we're going to do our best to have the most fair election possible. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you.
And I hope your stay is going to be extremely pleasant.
Thank you. Yes, Ted?
Is it 7:30 according to the agenda?
Well, we're moving right along here. It was at 7:20.
Well, I would like my comments to be in the record. I've got copies for each member of the board. I would like them to see what I've submitted. I have additional copies in my hand. I thought I would have time to do some more preparation for this. I have written each of you a letter that addresses my service as the parliamentarian for this board and the circumstances under which I was asked to step down by Leslie Kagan based on a ruling that she said the biggest concern was raised when a judge basically overruled both you and me on the question of how to count the 3 non-votes on the June 26th conference call, which was the vote that adopted the new Pacifica bylaws. I believe that judges make mistakes. Heresy, right? I mean, we don't think Supreme Court judges made mistakes regarding Florida, and we don't think Judge Sabraw makes mistakes in California. Well, of course we do, and I do. And that's what I address in paragraph number 4. I write a mea culpa and an excuse. I goofed, but it does not change the spirit of my advice, which, regardless of my personal opinion, I always attempted to put aside in serving as parliamentarian. During this crucial meeting, I should have advised Leslie Kagan to stop the vote count to take roll, thus determining if a two-thirds majority vote had been reached as soon as the affirmative votes were cast. My excuse: this is an extremely arcane aspect of Robert's rules. I've been attending meetings since 1962, and this is the first time I've seen a vote of this type take place. Also, I was not in the same room as she. This was a phone conference. Interceding, frankly, was not an option, and I was totally unprepared for the action taken by three members of the body who, in essence, said this process is totally bogus and we will not abstain. We refuse to participate. Nevertheless, I took those as abstention and advised Leslie accordingly. But it should not have come to that. I think there were 13 people participating in this meeting, and I can't tell you exactly how many were participating because we have no minutes posted on the Pacifica website. And when seven people voted in the affirmative, it should have been announced that this was not two-thirds and the motion was lost. And as an aside, if this body is going to continue to have conference call meetings, it needs to, as Robert's Rules advises, establish special protocols for doing so.
Okay, thank you very much, Ted. And I think that we do have all these. Appreciate your suggestion.
Excuse me, do you have more of those letters that you distribute for the National Board members?
I do, and I've given them to Marty, and I have more. I can give this one. Plus, I have attached to it the section of Robert's Rules of Order that addresses what I had to go by when that vote takes place. I've asterisked it on the attachment that you will receive.
Okay, thank you very much.
Give more time at the end if there's time, given the amount of services provided and how few people are here for public comment.
All right.
Second that.
Would you like me to hand these out?
Maybe we could just pass them down.
We're passing around, Ted.
We're passing around, Ted.
They're going to need more on that side.
Okay. Edwin Johnson. Johnston, sorry.
Yeah, a lot of people here know me, so I just want to use this opportunity to introduce myself to the rest of you folks, new folks. Edwin Johnston, I'm a bit of a Pacifica buff. I've been coming to national board meetings as far back as 1981. I live just a few blocks from the station and have so for most of these last 20 years. Hopefully we can, some of us talk, some of those new people talk. This weekend I'll be around, and you'll find me a large font of information about all things Pacifica, and especially KPFT here in Houston. I have a website that dealt with a magazine we had during the political struggle. The URL is HoustonRadioReport.org, and it has some of the articles from the newspaper that we put out back then. But I can also provide print copies of these papers, which were like 24 pages long. I got five different issues. So if you're here this weekend and you'd like some copies of that, I can provide it. And some of you who went to the station last night saw the art car in the backyard. I'm one of the designers. And I've also got little KPFT art car trading cards, so I can provide those as well. This guy seems like he wants them. But anyway, I'll be around. See you later.
All right. Thank you, Edwin. Ken Freeland.
I didn't realize I was signing up to speak, but since I really wanted to reserve my comments for tomorrow, I just want to ask you real quickly, Marty, for a clarification. I have submitted to the PNB a summary of some extreme, what I would consider egregious breaches in the parliamentary order of the LSB, of which I'm a member, and requests for action on the part of the PNB. I haven't received any official response to that. I just wondered if there's going to be some time set aside for the consideration of those questions sometime in the course of this meeting.
And the answer, Ken, is I'm not sure.
Okay.
Thank you for submitting them, though, and I believe we all received them. I certainly did.
When will we know whether or not there's time set aside for consideration?
Well, if we considered them, I'm not sure. We'll just have to see how the agenda goes.
I would have to end up in new business on Sunday. And being part of the governance committee, I'm super interested in the process.
Thank you.
It sounds like
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. Steve Brown.
Good evening. Steve Brown from New York. I see that the retreat has put a smile on everybody's face. That's good. So I hope you won't be disappointed at the mildness of my request. Last week I was in Los Angeles and I was visiting the archives for the first time. Precious resource, I think. In 100 years, that'll probably be the only part of Pacifica that anybody thinks about. I noticed they were very, very tight for space, especially office space, and right contiguous in the building, KPFK's building, which they share with the archives, was an enormous space filled with overturned chairs and waste paper baskets and emptiness. And I said, why can't you have some of this office space? And Brian DeShazer, heads the archives, said he didn't really know exactly why. And then I talked to KPFK's local station board that evening, and they said, well, maybe it's politics. We don't know why either. And so they said only the national board and the national staff could resolve it. And so I ask you to pay some attention to giving the archives a little bit more office space, if possible, and if it's only a political matter, to see if it can be resolved. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Jane Jackson.
Thank you for the segue. It wasn't planned. I'm Jane Jackson from Oakland, California, original KPFA listener and a member of our local station board. And I have four questions. One, as a member of the Committee of Inclusion for our station, how do you, and I understand we're under your domain, how do you plan for us to coordinate with each other and with you? It seems like it's what Mark Twain would call whitewash, and I don't like to be a part of whitewash, so I'd like to know how you plan for us to communicate with each other and with you. My second concern is that KPFA at one point had a process whereby prisoners would be eligible to vote as members of our station. Now that we have a more democratic process, I'm asking for uniformity and a system that is not exclusive, but as inclusive as possible. And I'm sitting waiting for an answer to this question now, having offered such a subscription to Kevin Cooper when he was given his last postponement because it appeared that he'd be eligible to alive long enough to vote. And I've had no answer to that. And so I've not pursued it further, thinking it needs to be a network-wide solution. And my third is, please, some adherence to the Americans with Disabilities Act and Title 24, which include the archives, and you are a California corporation, and I can only say that Title 24 preceded the ADA and is stronger. And fourthly, to remind you that if you visit the nice lobby bar, you will be visiting something that once upon a time we would have called a Jim Crow bar. I was asked if there was accessibility, was told no, but we would be glad to bring you a beer to the lobby. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else? Oh, Reva and Teen.
KPFA local station board. When you last met for your meeting in Berkeley, I realized that I, at public comment, talked about how I had just heard that the network was handling the Democratic and Republican convention, and I raised a question about that it's a political discussion and decision how that's handled. since then, I've heard that there's going to be gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Democratic and Republican convention, which I and many people I talk to don't think that's the best way to use our resources. So I guess I'd sort of like to know by the end of the weekend if there's a decision that we're covering Democratic and Republican gavel-to-gavel, who's anchoring it, and even if that decision is made, can it be revisited? Because I certainly encourage summary and analysis and synopsis, and as somebody said, we need picket sign to picket sign coverage more than gavel to gavel coverage. You know, if hell breaks loose, we can always preempt. But the 9/11 commission hearing, some people felt like preempting Amy Goodman for that wasn't the best use of our time. So I guess the bigger question is, where do those decisions get made? And I would like you to look at it.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak who hasn't spoken during the public comment time? Okay. So you want to say something more? Okay. Okay. Melinda.
Hi, Allie Doan. And I apologize. The only reason I wanted to make a comment was because my husband pointed out quite clearly that I had not actually stated my case when I did make my comment, and that was that I was urging everyone to vote against the write-in. And I apologize. That's all.
Okay.
Write-in voting.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm Donna McWaters from here in Houston.
And hold my cup, please.
I'm Donna McWaters from here in Houston, and I wanted to take this opportunity to thank this entire board for such a good selection for chair, mainly because you're not from any of our stations, so you have a better choice of being independent and fair than any of the rest of us. Welcome to Houston, ma'am.
Thank you very much. All right, anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, Ted, I'm aware of you, but I wanted to ask others first. Yes.
My name is Tom King. I'm from Goose Creek, Texas. I would urge y'all to, in the next 6 months, do everything that you can at your station to attract listeners, to learn, to teach them, so that they may learn, so that you may teach them what the hell is going on in this world. I urge you as strong as I can in the next 6 months to do everything you can to get listeners to come to your station and hear what's going on, because you may not have any time at all to do that after the next 6 months. You may not even be able to have a meeting like this next year. Think about it and get off your butts and pull together to get the word out. Please. I implore you.
Thank you, Tom. Yes.
Hope you didn't mess with it just because I came up here, man. How's everybody?
All right.
Muntu Massimela from New York City. It's a couple of questions. One is, I'm still kind of curious about what constitutes the primary basis. Let me put it this way. What is the specific responsibility of the Pacifica National Board and the National Office with respect to fundraising? Okay, does it have a special responsibility? Because, as we all know, national board meetings are costly, and the national office expenses is huge, and it all comes from the listeners from five radio stations. And listeners who we've often heard beyond the point of donor fatigue. And the boards have a particular responsibility, particularly with the strategic necessity, given the perennial, quarterly crises that we find ourselves in terms of funding difficulty. Does the board have a particular responsibility to alleviate that crisis on a quarterly, perennial basis by addressing the question of fundraising as a priority? Secondly, is that the responsibility of the national office? Are we just going to do this crisis situation ad nauseum? I want to know what that is, what that specific responsibility is.
Anybody else who would like to speak who hasn't spoken? Yes. Michael.
Yeah, hi, I'd like to welcome you to Houston as well. And I'd like to use my 2 minutes to talk about the mission statement. And as I started volunteering heavily, I guess, two years ago. And so I don't have the history with Pacifica that gives me a lot of confidence. So I go to the mission statement more and more. And so I would just to encourage Pacifica to think about how we measure the station operations against the mission statement. It is an educational institution primarily. And if you were to ask how does KPFT, for example, educate, in what sense do we do that, do we do it in the manner that's implied or even stated in the threefold mission statement, say under the arts issue, which is very specific if you look at it. And so sometimes I feel maybe I'm outdated or misguided because I read it and I like the mission statement pretty much. But when you apply it to the particular programming, it's a bit weak. The programming doesn't measure up to the statement. So, you know, as a matter of sanity, I would like to be able to say that somehow the station is measured against a true goal or a true objective, and then to sort of determine whether or not we're being effective or set in a certain direction based on that. So, off of my concerns, I think the chief one is to see how the stations hold to the mission, or if the mission is somehow irrelevant or out of date, to change it and make it so that we can look at it and say this is, as members say, this is what we stand for and this is how we justify what we do and this is what bonds us. And so that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else who hasn't spoken who would like to speak during the public comment period? Otis? No, you're not speaking. All right. So, Ted, you may come and talk to us for another 2 minutes.
I can't say my name in 2 minutes. Well, I put down on the left-hand margin of my copy of this document are some key points. In the first, second, third, fourth, fifth paragraph, I was asked the question, do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? The contention that you can't be both is one I reject. I believe Pacifica not only needs to espouse democracy, it also must practice it. I talked about my explanation. I address where do we go from here. I have a recommendation, and it is that we amend the bylaws before the upcoming election. I talk about electing people by districts with COI, Committee of Inclusion Input, and devoting resources for diversity outreach. That's the first paragraph at the top of the second page. I talk about an illegal action to the tune of $1,000 by the IPNB when they hired a parliamentarian without the board voting on it. Leslie Kagan, in her termination note to me, indicates that she made a decision to hire somebody else. Robert's rule says that a board, when you hire a parliamentarian, as opposed to when I was served as a volunteer, you have to vote on it. And the attachment says what I had to go by, and I hope that, I don't think the time will allow for me to read it, but basically it says that you have to stop the vote. There were 13 people in the room. After the affirmative vote was taken, 7 people voted yes. Roll should have been taken. The remaining 6 should never have even had to vote. 7 out of 13 is not 2/3. Therefore, the bylaw should never have gone forward at that point. The vote should have been defeated.
Thank you, Ted. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak during the public comment period?
I just want to say on behalf of the KPFT board, local station board, we're very proud of our 4 board members that sit with you on this board. We just wanted to welcome you to Houston, and we hope that your stay is a warm one and not literally. It's actually it's raining cats and dogs outside right now, so it's kind of cool, and maybe it'll stay that way. But we just wanted to extend the warmest welcome to you, and we hope your stay is a good one. Thank you all for being here.
All right, is there anyone else who has a comment? All right, seeing none, we will move along with the agenda. Thank you all for your comments. We don't need a break. Yes, yes, Dave.
When we are shy on an agenda we've approved, and we keep moving it, what does that do to the rest of the agenda? In other words, are we finishing early? For example, if somebody came, saw that it was at a given time left, I mean, what does it mean to go too fast?
We're not used to this, so we don't know. But I would suggest that after the day, it's been a long day for all of us, and that if we can move everything along, we will. And if somebody misses something, we'll take that up. David?
Well, there was one issue that at the last board meeting there was a resolution on Haiti that Ray LaForest had to bring in. Our local board also passed such a motion, and it dropped off for lack of time. So if people would be willing to indulge that at some point, we would appreciate it. I understand we already approved the agenda.
Point of information for anyone, wouldn't that technically need to be added to new business too?
When that point of information, which is a question, wouldn't that need to be added to new business now that we've passed the agenda?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Alice.
I believe, according to our last retreat at BAI with a parliamentarian, new business can only be added once the section of new business occurs in the agenda. So the proper time, at least as I now understand it, would be at when you announce new business.
Just David. I believe it's old business because it had been previously agendized.
It's, the old and new are in the same place. Teresa?
I'm like a mic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. This is an unusual situation, Madam Chair, where we have so much time. And I don't think one possibility for public comment is that we could pose a question and to our listeners and get a little bit more creative juice going, you know, perhaps offer them a more of an opportunity to give an opinion on programming or something else where we can, you know, because there won't be that many of us perhaps that will go and sit and have a cup of coffee with you later. This is an enormous opportunity that we're missing. We could, I know you've solicited their comments several times, but if there's something that we would like more listener comment on, we might actually pose a question and just spend 20 minutes soliciting creative comments, like brainstorming.
There was also Dave's motion.
And there's Dave's motion.
source of marijuana, is it?
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we extend the public comment time 20 more minutes and basically play with it, I believe.
Point of order, we don't have to extend it. We're within the...
No, I understand. But I mean that we do not move on. Yeah. That we allow another 20 minutes. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, Sonali.
If we're taking suggestions on questions that we'd like to get our listeners' feedback on, maybe we could ask them how they think we should cover, we as a network should cover the conventions and elections, because that's a big project that our foundation is undertaking this summer. It might be interesting to see what listeners feel about it. Just a suggestion.
Is there any more discussion on this motion? No?
Yeah.
Wendy?
I mean, we might be being overly optimistic here. It's, we haven't seen how long the next things we have to do are. Why don't we do those first and then go on to public comment? That's a motion.
Second.
Substitute motion.
Second.
Oh, gee. Does it have to be a motion? Okay.
Well, you don't have a choice.
Yeah. We have to. It's been moved and seconded that we continue with the agenda and then come back and have some more public comment time.
Because more people will be here by then, probably too. They're streaming in.
Yeah. Sure. All right.
Call the question.
Okay. Let's vote on whether or not to move the agenda now and come back if we have more time to public comment.
Point of order, I thought it's a vote on whether to end discussion.
Yeah. No.
There's a point of order, we have to vote on whether it's a technical.
I'm sorry. I always forget this. So, all right. Thank you for the correction. It's been moved and seconded that we call the question here. We cease debate and we vote. All those in favor, raise your hand, please. All right. That motion carries. Now, the motion before us is to move the agenda, and if we have time, to come back to public comment at the end of the meeting. All those in favor? All right, that motion carries. Let's move on, and if we have time, yeah, it's
committee reports.
All right, so committee reports, part one: the Finance Committee report and the Treasurer's report from Chair Mark Roberts.
Okay. And let me begin also by saying thank you to everyone here in Houston for their incredible hospitality and great food. And I've enjoyed myself today. The Finance Committee is, of course, a very important committee. We spent a lot of time in the last couple of days talking about our corporate vision and mission. And one of the things that the Finance Committee studies quite intently is the budget, because that's the best place to start to see how exactly that vision is being implemented, because it tells us how resources are being allocated. And the allocation of resources goes directly to the heart of what we are and what we are trying to do. And what we've been doing at the Finance Committee is working on that very challenge. And I'm just going to go briefly. I did a report, and it is a brief one, and then I'll move to the recommended action items. We've also have several motions, but that will come up later today. I want to acknowledge the members of the committee. We have Vicki Santa, who is here on the National Board, LaVarne Williams, who is the treasurer at KPFA, Simone Wyatt, the treasurer at KPFK, Dahlia Stokes, the treasurer here at KPFT, Paul Surivel, who's also the secretary of the National Finance Committee, who is the treasurer at WBAI. So as you can see, we have all five treasurers on this committee. Warren Turner, who is the treasurer at WPFW in Washington. Joining them as well, board members Carol Spooner from KPFA, Donna, Joe Warren. I didn't know about the Joe, Donna. That's she's from KPFK. Henry Cooper from KPFT. Alice Shields from WBAI. Myself. And Lonnie Hicks, the CFO. And what we've doing, and what we have been doing, is meeting by teleconference. And we do webcast those unless we're in some sort of executive session, which we have not been to date. My name is Mark Roberts, and I serve as chair of that committee. I get an honorary title as treasurer also, but no money, so, you know. But I'm honored. One of the things that we are charged to do by the bylaws is to review and recommend the annual budget, to bring it before the board for approval, and to monitor and report on the foundation's activities on at least a quarterly basis. And that is what we intend to do. To date, our progress has been very good, and I've been saying that throughout. I'm happy with the progress of the National Finance Committee. I was concerned that we would not be able to integrate the treasurers from five station areas, board members from five station areas, into a cohesive unit, but so far we've been getting along rather nicely. Financial reporting from the national office has improved significantly, and when you go on Pacifica.org, the last that we reviewed was March, but that was because we bumped into the new budget for the fiscal year. But that material is also available for the general public. We also have a listserv for the members, and we get the financial reporting early. So if there's anything that we have or anything any questions, any concerns, that we can bring that together before it is formally reported and released. And that's working. We meet on the fourth Friday of every month. Occasionally we've done more than that, and will when the need arises. Reports have been excellent. They've improved greatly. Carol Spooner had shared with us minutes from, I think, 2003, where there was concern that we would not even be able to obtain financial reporting at the station level. It would just be consolidated and called Pacifica. But actually now we are getting that kind of information, which is helpful to all of us. And I want to thank Lonnie Hicks for getting that information out on a timely basis. If he changes that pattern, we'll let you know. We've looked at the interaction of LSB treasurers with the general managers and asked them, how's that working on the LSB level? And the treasurers have reported that things are working well. Many of them serve as chair of the local finance committee in their respective listening areas, and that's very helpful. Because they also then coordinate the finance activity level at the local and then are able to report back to us at the national through the committee. Many of them also issue treasurer's reports at the monthly meetings. In addition to whatever financial material the general manager may be introducing or the business manager, we are going to be encouraging that the LSB treasurers are also on, particularly to talk about any variances in spending, anything that's come up in the last month, since we do get monthly reporting. Now, remember, we lag, so it's about 30 days after that particular month that we get the numbers. But if there's anything that shows up where we expected to spend $1,000 and we spent $5,000, then we want to be able to explain what happened, what went wrong, and what potential remedies we've discussed so that we keep our actuals in line with our plan, which is what the budget is, a plan. We have reviewed in detail in a 3.5-hour meeting the budget lines for March for every station, the national office, and the archives. We did that in order to create a baseline for ourselves and to make sure that all members understood each item and what it represented. So we asked a lot of questions. What does this mean? How is this done? Because, of course, the categories can have any name. We wanted to know what those categories represented in terms of both income and expenses. And we got the answers that we needed. There were a couple of key issues that are still before us. And, again, we're still beginning some of this process. One, of course, the key things is the new fiscal budget for the 05 year, which will begin in October. And we'll discuss it later. We haven't actually even looked at that. That's something that came with our packets. But that will be a blueprint for what we anticipate in the year to come, how we are going to allocate our resources, where we anticipate our revenue will come from, and that will be a very significant point of investigation on the part of the committee, because we have to make recommendations to this entire board as to whether or not we recommend that budget for approval at our next board meeting in September. And we intend to be ready at that time. The other thing that's important for us was to safeguard the role of the LSBs. The bylaws particularly stipulate that they have a role in the budget review and approval process. That generation, review and approval. And we want to make sure that the LSBs, through their treasurer, through their finance committees, that they have voted for and approved the budget for their station before we bring it before the board. So the National Finance Committee will be asking the LSB to be incorporated in the budget review process at the local level. And we, as a National Finance Committee, through our treasurers, will be definitely monitoring that, and we ask that you all do the same. And finally, the question of legal bills, which is one area where the variances has been deemed significant enough to come before the body. And that will be discussed later, and I believe that Lonnie has prepared a presentation to discuss that issue, and I will leave that for that time. There are several motions that we have passed, but most of them were relevant to things related to this meeting, and I'd rather focus on the motions that are before us, so I'll get to that later. I'm going to quickly go over the recommended actions that we, the Finance Committee, have agreed upon, and I will do that. One is that we're looking for full passage by the Pacifica National Board as a body to outline the policy regarding access to sensitive data, including salary and headcount information at the station level. And we ask that this policy address access to all directors, as well as access to LSB treasurers and the LSB, that it address the fiduciary obligations that we have as board members, that it also protect and recognize the sensitive nature of the data, in particular with relationship to staff. And we have prepared a motion to that effect. We're asking for required approval by a majority vote of the National Finance Committee to recommend an annual budget for approval by the board. We would like the Finance Committee to have to say, okay, fine, the five treasurers from the five listing areas together with the five board members, we're reviewing this information first, we're meeting on a regular basis with the CFO, and we feel that that budget should have to be approved there first before we take it before the board so that we can give it a stamp of approval and further along the approval process. And there is a motion to that effect that will be raised. We ask for an examination of all the legal debt for the foundation to be broken down by categories including current and past debt and the sources of the debt. Specifically, how much of the current legal expenses result from issues related to governance, elections, settlements, ongoing litigation, and normal operations. We want to get a handle on this particular bill. We want to understand how much it is just in the course of doing business, how much it is something that's lingering from past misunderstandings and that type of thing, how much is settlements. We want to understand that, and Lonnie is going to answer those questions for us over the course of the weekend. We also ask for a review of the detailed debt retirement, and of course our debt is not just a function of legal. There are also other aspects, old bills, accounts payable. We want to have a sense of how much we owe and how we intend to get that monkey off our back once and for all. So we've asked for a detailed accounting, and that will also be presented this weekend. We'll be reviewing the fiscal year 05 proposed budget. In particular, we're going to be looking at some key areas such as governance expenses, including the anticipated election, where we had significant variances from what we thought it would cost and what it came in costing. And we wanted to make sure we don't make that mistake with the upcoming elections, and we have a better handle on costs. And I know the Election Review Committee has prepared a very detailed recommendations, which I hope will also address that issue so that we can keep those costs in line. The teleconferencing that we have to do, many of you may serve on these, the 800 number, of course, we pay. That's something. I had an 800 number in the business for years, and my mother called me all the time, and she said, "Oh, it's so wonderful. This is free." And I didn't have the heart to tell her that it really wasn't. The bill came to me. So we want to talk about teleconferencing and make sure we've budgeted appropriately for that. Board training as well. Travel expenses. Someone talked about the costs related to the board. Standing committee expenses. We've created a very interesting and intricate governance structure. We want to make sure that we have the money to pay for it to operate properly. We also want to consider a decision by the Pacifica National Board to require anticipated financial impact statements for resolutions so that we don't put something out there and never think that somebody's got to pay for that, that being us and the listeners. So we are concerned about making sure that we keep in mind that sometimes the things that we want to do or oftentimes do affect the budget. And then finally, some concerns that we have are the archives and the funding of the archives, the integration of the archives, and also the utilization of the archives in terms of premium costs, which are also rising throughout the network. Oftentimes, the cost for the thank you gifts are much higher than we anticipated. We're getting them directly from vendors at margins of 50 to 40 to 60%, and some internal generation of the best of some show that's locally already available would not only integrate the archives, create another source of revenue, but also perhaps reduce those rising costs. That's something that we want to look at. Unbudgeted staffing and consulting hires. And once again, a budget is a plan for the year. And, of course, sometimes something happens and you decide, hey, we really need someone. We didn't think we needed. But we want to make sure that nothing happens in the area of that budgeting once we've set the goal and the groundwork without consultation with the LSB, without discussions with the National Finance Committee, so that we understand why that variance is occurring in that key area of staffing, which accounts, as many of you know, for approximately 52% of the network's expenditures. So we want to watch that area. We want to establish or consider the establishment of minimum staffing positions at stations. One of the things that we found is there's a big variance where one station might have a program director and another station doesn't. One station might have a development director and another station doesn't. And we're looking at what is it possible that we can find some way to stabilize that across stations. In particular, for example, if we decide as a strategic plan that we want to increase web development as a source of revenue and outreach, and we decide that that is a priority, and we don't then budget to have at least a part-time web person on hand, then we've defeated our strategic plan. So in those instances where we have created a strategic outlook that we want to look at, we want to make sure that we have personnel available at every station to make that occur. And so that when we approve a plan, we'll be asking exactly, you know, who are we approving here? And finally, we are going to urge the Pacifica National Board to create a development committee and to also investigate the role of fundraising by this board and what ways that we can assist not only in strategic planning, but in also helping to grow the network, or at least to help the network accomplish whatever goals we determine those are, through strategic planning and development. And that is a committee that many of us have on the local level, but we do not have a national counterpart. So development is something else that we'll be asking this board to consider the weekend. And finally, that all I will say is that I am a strong believer in the committee approach. I like the fact that I get to talk with people from different listening areas and different perspectives, and that we all work together to move and to sort of monitor, to be the eyes, the ears, to be responsible, to report to this board on the particular area where we have been asked to. And in this case, finance, I'm very happy to say that we have a very capable, dedicated, and committed committee, and we look forward to serving all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, is it appropriate to have questions or comments at this moment?
Yes. Would you like to be recognized, Ray?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to point to the Motion approved, number three. The numbers here, the amount of money that the motion referred to here, is much higher than the actual amount spent. Is there any somewhere, is that an addendum where it's recognized somewhere?
Yeah, and in fact, actually, that's just a typo on my part.
Okay.
It was up to $3,000.
Okay.
And that's what we did an up to, and that's what we approved for the facilitation this week, this weekend. So thank you for pointing it out. I hadn't even noticed that.
Okay. So the next statement, recommended actions. Number two, are you actually saying that unless the finance committee approves the budget, that the national board, the board as a whole, should not accept it? Or are you suggesting
yes.
that we consult with the committee?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, and again, this is a motion, so it'll be what we determine, but what we are recommending is, yes, that committee of 11, including the CFO, by majority vote, not unanimous, by majority vote, must approve the fiscal 05 budget as presented before we then bring it before the board for full approval.
Okay, thank you. And finally, I want to point out that number five, the last sentence, asking that the board consider to require anticipated financial impact statements. That was done already by the IPNB, so this is in existence. That the statement that accompanies any resolution by the board, a financial statement.
I'm not aware of any existing policy to that effect. If so,